27.
Matthew chapter 27. And let's stand to read God's Word tonight. Matthew chapter 27. Thank you, all you who sang tonight. Appreciate very much. It's good to hear Jonah on his birthday. Amen. Matthew chapter 27. Beginning verse 63. Saying, "Sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again." Now, I'm reading this. I think to myself, they heard him say that, didn't they? Without question, I'll rise again. If they heard it, don't you think the disciples heard it? So why were they so amazed about it? Because it's so far-fetched. I've been around people that pass away, and it's a difficult time. And as much as I've been around it as a pastor, and when I was in high school, worked at a funeral home in college, and then worked with fire departments and ambulance squads and chaplaincy program. I've been around a lot of it, and I've never seen one come back yet once they have gone. Well, you and I know that we have the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ saying that someday when the trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise, that we which are alive will, that and remain shall be caught up. That's our promise. Amen. That's what gets us through to another day. But these disciples had heard, as well as these men, he said that deceiver said, verse 64, "Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away." What a foolish statement, because these disciples, what'd they do? They split. Man, they're gone. "And say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way, and this is what I'm going to preach on tonight. Make it as sure as you can." Oh, Pilate. He knew. He knew. Three times a day, I don't find no fault in this guy. He's not worthy of death. You going to make it sure? I think he kind of had that hope that he would raise. And to show the atrocity of these religious people is done to a man who is not guilty of death. You know, there are so many Christians today and so many religionists that go out and say things that are just embarrassing to those that love Jesus Christ. Amen? You know, they want to vote, so they make sure they're religious enough, you know. There's amazing things going on out there. There's amazing things when you go to work. I know that there was a man that used to work for my wife, worked at Shields, and he called himself a Christian, and it's an embarrassment. A couple girls came to work there. My wife worked there 18 years, very careful about making sure they knew that she would not be there on Wednesday night because she'd be in her church, and she would not on Sunday. Now, there was a couple times that she had to because of certain things that went on in the office, but I'll tell you what, they knew that they couldn't ask her to work. Now, I understand some people have to work. I understand that. But she made it a point. She would say, "You know what? I'm not going to work." And people come into that office, and Marcia, so many years, tried to get these people to come to Christ and try to let them see a difference in her life. And by the way, her life was quite different. And for those just to come in, and some even from our church, it just became a mockery. And she'd come home weeping and say, "Honey, I've tried my hardest." I said, "You're doing what God wants you to do. You just stay with it." So the Bible said in verse 66, "So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone setting a watch. Father, I pray you'd help us now as we look into the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This world has all its gadgets and its technology with all its worldly wisdom and worldly power in it. It's amazing what we can do. We just push their button on our phone and we ask for Sherry. I call it Sherry. They say it's Sari, but I call it Sherry because Sherry worked at our house for so long. I just say, Sherry, and it comes on. Amen. But the other day I was sitting down. I was feeding my wife yogurt. And I said, Marcia, I wonder where they got the name yogurt from. And guess what I did? I asked Sherry. And Sherry said it's a Greek word, which means condensed milk and something else. I can't remember. Well, I was disappointed. I thought there was going to be really something good about it. Over 2,000 years ago, feeble mankind tried to match the power of God's power. And failed miserably. Today, mankind cannot even hold a candle to the grandeur and the almighty, everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. There is no way they can. The Creator God of this magnificent universe gave the greatest gift to mankind that mankind would not have to suffer in hell for eternity, but enjoy eternal blessings of heaven. Mankind owes God of the universe a horrendous debt for their sins. The only way that human mortal can pay for his sin is to be literally cast in the burning hell, but burned for eternity. But God, in his great love and his amazing grace and his mercy, held out to mankind his hand and offered him peace with the Father. For God so loved the world. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Creator of mankind did something so astonishing and so amazing that it baffles the human population of this world since the beginning of time. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, God never intended man to be in the dark concerning his spiritual condition. God's desire that all mankind would end up in heaven. That was his day. He said, I would that none would perish. He has made it so simple that even a little child can understand the plan and be able to go there someday. Look at what Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. John chapter 3, verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus said in John 6, 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10 and verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As Christians, it doesn't make any difference what color we are. I hear this. Black matters. Black lives matter. I contradict that. All lives matter. I don't care what kind of ism you are. I don't care what kind of place you came from. I don't care if you're born with a silver spoon in your mouth or born in a pig pen. You matter. You matter to God. For God says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But look at the reaction of the world. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, the world is ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. I think President Reagan said, it said not that these people don't know It's not that these people
don't know anything.
They just know so much of the things that
isn't so.
Huh?
Isn't so.
They ain't so. That's the world. The world is so full of itself. They're not willing to accept what God gave them. Today I would like to show you what helpless mankind for 1,000 years have tried to do against the plan of God to bring salvation to mankind. God's remedy for the sin-sick world is not that they're going to get any better, but it's God's mercy and His grace that He has provided the salvation for those who only trust in Him. Trust only in the precious blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross of Calvary. There's a song that I love. It says, only trust Him. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. And He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessing to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way. He leads you into rest. Believe in Him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Our text tonight is found in Matthew chapter 27, verse 65 to 66. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way. Make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. How frivolous. How foolish. How imbecilic. Can you imagine? God, who just spoke this world into existence. Last night I took old Spike outside. Every night Spike and I go outside. He has his business and my business is looking up at stars in heaven, amen. I picked that old dog up and I said, look at what God made you, dog. I don't think he gets it yet. He's only 9 months old. But I get it a little bit. God makes those beautiful stars, magnificent planets, that moon. It's incredible to me. He spoke that into existence. And the Bible said He knows the number of the stars and He calls them all by name. What astounds me is He looks at me and He knows my name and knows the number of my hair on my head. And He knows where I stand and where I sit, where I lay down. He knows my thoughts are far off. And someone who's going to take a stone... I love it camp. I go out and I try every summer at junior camp. I tell this kid the story about God weighs the mountain that's in His hand. And I get a stone last year. I know this kid got a hernia. I know it. But I gave him the stone, and every year I do it, these kids, it's not heavy. So I picked a pretty good heavy one and gave it to the kid, and he was so macho. Can you imagine a third grader being so macho? He wouldn't let that stove down. His neck was bulging out. His eyeballs were coming out, looked like a frog, and his face was all red. And I said, man, that's heavy. And he said, uh-uh. And for a God, for a man to say, make it as sure as you can. And the Bible said they made it sure, and they put this little seal, this little Roman seal, with some wax on it, and put the insignia of the Pilate on it, and said, I'll keep him. The religious Jews hated the Nazarene. Not for what he stood for, but how he stood. They did not want him to be continued to live because he made a mockery of them. Because the way he lived. He made a mockery of their own personal lives. Their lives did not go along with their Bible teaching in the temple. They did did not live up to the standards of law. They did not live up to his example. They did not live up to his influence. He was perfect. They were not. He lived every part of the law blamelessly. They failed in every part of the law terribly. He did all the right things. For the most part, they did all the wrong things. They could not compete with him. So the only way they could keep from being embarrassed would be destroy their competition. A lot of people in this world like that. You go to school, you try to as hard as you can to get the best grades you can. You're really not caring about anybody else. You're caring about yourself and getting your grades done. And all of a sudden, you happen to get a 4-point. And all of a sudden, people start mocking you of being a teacher's pet and mocking you. But you know why they're doing that? They can't compete with you. Because you have made a decision. Yesterday, I can't say who it was, but yesterday, one of my relatives over in Michigan was wrestling, and he'd been monkeying around the last month. He hasn't been at, and he's a state champion. But he got second place yesterday. You know why? His grandpa told me. He says he's spending too much time with his girlfriend. And he let his weight go, and he had dropped 2 pounds in 2 days. Now, when you're a rock-ribbed wrestler, and you have to lose 2 pounds in 2 days, you lose a lot of energy, too. They're just people like that. They just, then they get upset and make all kinds of excuses why they failed. Well, I flunked that class because. I'll tell you why. Didn't take it seriously. That class is going to come. You're going to have to take the class. When I was going to college, and boy, don't look at my grades back when I was at Pillsbury. Please don't do that. Because that's the kind of guy I was back there. I thought it was just fun and games and carrying a football. And I found out that at a Christian college, they didn't pass you because you were a good fullback. They passed you because you got the grades. Nobody told me that. When I came to this college and I started studying, I went to South Dakota State University and got real diligent in my studying for EMS. Did very well there. I came out here and 68 hours straight 4-point. And you know why? I studied. I get about 3 hours of sleep at night. Getting this church going, we were building. We'd be here every Monday at 6 o'clock at night until 6 o'clock in the morning. Well, I'll tell you what, when I look at this place, I look at some guys with dreams and aspirations who want to serve God greatly. We still did it. There's always people who are going to shoot you down for doing what's right. I used to say, who cares? In fact, there's a couple boys I took out of class after class and explained to them what going to college is about and what screwing around is about. And I wasn't going to listen to them get that teacher who was very easy to get off track. And I said, next time you do it, I'm going to turn around, I'm going to grab you, I'm going to throw you out of class. They said, you wouldn't. I said, don't mess with me. And my son, Chad, says, he'll do it. That was a wonderful class after that, brother. If they could just kill him, they'd get rid of him. No, that's not the way it is with God. You can't kill God. He's eternal. And they wanted to make sure that it was done. He was done away with. They devised plans to make sure that they would not be bothered with him nor the other fellow if we can make him go away. Business will be as back to normal. In a few months, people will forget this healer, this magical worker, this devil in disguise. So they went to Pilate and begged him to put the Roman seal on the tomb to set a watch, and the disciples could not come and take that body away and say that Jesus was risen. Nope. When I ponder for a moment of these feeble men planning to keep the Creator, the Almighty God of the universe, in a stone term, in a stone tomb, I just shake my head in amazement. God is God, right? No man can do anything to keep him from doing his perfect will. But from the beginning of time, mankind's feebly has tried to find ways to defuse God's plan, to devoid and to neutralize and nullify them. He is yet God, and he still prevails. It was God who made the world out of nothing. Scientists have told us for years that it is important to create anything. It is impossible to create anything without something. God's word created declares that God created this world and this earth and this universe. He used the word ex nihilo, which happens to mean out of nothing. Now they tell us that we're made out of some primordial soup. And something just climbed out of that soup. And it was an amoeba. And then it worked really fast, and all of a sudden they got a monkey, and then they got me. Wrong answer. They still cannot find the missing link, as hard as they've tried. For the modern day God-denying scientists, the most repulsive statement that they ever hear is this: in the beginning, God created the heaven and an earth. The most fundamental scientific law says nothing can ever be made except out of materials previously existing. And that law is true, except when God has a hand in it. When God spoke the world into existence, he used the word bara, which means to shape or to fashion or to create. It carries with the idea of a fine sculptor, an artist, as you would work on a project. God created everything out of nothing. The heavens, the light, the water, the earth, the firmament, the dry land, the vegetation, the stars, the planet, solar system, sun and the moon. All living creatures in the water, and all living creatures in the birds of the sky, all living creatures of the earth. And then his chronic creation, he formed man out of the dust and breathed into him. He became a living soul. And he was made in God's image. Secondly, the world tried to stop Christ at his birth. This shows you how ignorant Satan is. When Jesus Christ came to this blood and sin-soaked earth, mankind was as wicked as it could get. They had a jealous king that was on the throne of Israel. His name was King Herod. He was a powerful king, and yet, with all his forces, he could not stop the king of creation, the king of all generations, the king of kings, the Lord of lords, from living. He tried to find him. He tried to eradicate him, exterminate him from the earth. He devised a plan to get rid of the kingdom of his rival king child. Listen to folks. He massacred all his little baby boys, his own baby boys. Had them killed. Then he went down and massacred all the little boys that were 2 years and under at Bethlehem. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise man, was exceeding wrath, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast thereof, from 2 years and under, according to him which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which is spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying in Ramah, was there a voice heard, a lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, would not be comforted because they are not. Jesus is still living, amen? Third time they tried to stop him and put him to death. Why did man hate him? because he's perfect. They could not live up to his standards of living, how he lived. His life was so perfect, they mocked him for his teaching. Luke chapter 19, verse 47, the Bible said, "And he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chiefs of the people sought to destroy him and could not find what they might do. For all the people were very attentive to hear him." Why don't they get it? Luke chapter 20, verse 19, "And the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him, and they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken the parable against him." They get rid of him? Well, the whole world tried to stop the resurrection of Christ. With all the might and power, with all the religious influence, with all the rules and regulations, with the wisdom and the cunningness, with all its customs, with all its culture and pomp, with all its ability to capacity, yet the world, with all its religion and cult and power, thought that if they could make a tomb sure, make it secure, that would prevent Christ's disciples from stealing him. Well, the Roman Empire gave the leader of Judaism a watch, and they could not stop the resurrection of the great. Woo! Hallelujah. There is one event that the world wants to stop today, and that's the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're laughing about it. Oh, people have been looking for that all the time. Jesus, the scripture even said that. Yeah, people said that he's going to come all the time. They mocked that. Well, will you mark it or not? He's coming. You just put it down in your little old book. He's coming. The world and all its fancy high technology and all the evolutionary education and teaching and all the humanistic teaching and reasoning, all that try to destroy the old authorized version Bible, the old King James, and all the bad press that the true believers, Christians, get, and some of that press, they've asked for it themselves. All the ecumenical religious leaders getting together into one world religion. The world wants one world government. It's tried its one world currency, the euro. Let me give you a little advice. It will never, I said never, stop the second coming of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, "But the day of the Lord shall come, and the thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burnt up." That's global warming. Titus 2:13. "Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of a great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Jude 21. "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Psalm 50, verse 3. "Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous around about him." Isaiah 34, 4. "And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heaven shall roll together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down, and as the leaf that falleth off the vine, that falleth off a fig from the fig tree." James 5:7. "Be patient, therefore." What did he say? "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patiently for it, until he received the early and the latter rains. Be ye also patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Now there's some gardeners in here, and there's some farmers in here tonight. Last fall, on a little 70-acre farm in Michigan, they took off the soybeans. And just a couple days later, they came in with great big planters and planted what we call winter wheat. I will not see that harvest until July. Am I worried about it? Can't do about it anyway. Am I patient about it? Yep. I'm patient about it. It's going to come. You got to wait. Don't get so excited. I hear some girl's going to have a baby. They're so excited. They have to wait 9 months. That's a long time. Until it gets here and you say, man, that went fast. Especially when you're cleaning up for them, amen. And then you look at a little boy that's 6, 7 years old now. And you look at your boy that's a teenager now. And you look at your grandson, your granddaughter, how old they are now. And you say, that seemed like yesterday. Yeah. Well, the Bible says it is our responsibility to be patient. I hear so many people so upset about so many things going on in this world. You ain't going to do nothing about it anyway. Oh, if he gets into office, oh! Folks, you're not electing the Savior. I have never heard so much talk about election in my whole life. I agree with the man that hates leap year on election day, which gives us one more day of politics. Policy is very important. We need to take care of it. We need the best that we can. We need to pray and ask God's perfect. And I hope that I've stood behind you in this pulpit and gave you enough reasons why you ought to vote for certain people and about certain ways of life, and it's your job to pick them. I'm not a dictator. I'm not telling you who to vote for. But I hope you got enough common sense to realize we're not voting in a pastor, we're voting in a businessman to do the work and help our children someday along the line to pay back this horrendous debt that's up there. That's enough. I wasn't even going to talk about politics, but I think that it's your responsibility to know the best you can. Don't call me up and say, who are you going to vote for? But I ain't going to tell you. I heard somebody a couple months ago said that they were taking on this certain people and they were throwing their hat in with them. And I thought when he said that, I thought, you know, there's a lot of stuff that can come out of that about that man or about this lady or whatever. It'd be a pretty good idea to keep your mouth shut. Like Brother Boyd, you see. Scat. Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who is our life, got that? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. I'm not looking for November. I'm listening for the trumpet. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. The world has tried to discourage, to downplay, to cloud, to blind people's eyes to God. Some say, why in the world do they do that? Because if they don't have a God, and they don't have this book, they don't have to live for that God. They don't have to live by this book. But I have to. I got to live by this book. This is my instructions. This is my roadmap of my life. And if I miss a day, oh my, I'm in trouble. My life goes haywire. Last week sometime something happened and I had to fly out of the house like a like my tail was on fire. You ever been like that? I had so much I had to do. And I didn't get my Bible reading done. Yeah, you're looking at it. About halfway through, I said to God, God, I'm so sorry. And I left the launching pad without talking to you. God said, I think I've taught you a good lesson, haven't I? I said, yes, sir. You taught me a good lesson tonight. I'm going to try so hard. Oh, folks, if you don't know the book, if you don't stay in the book, you're going to be razzled by this world, frazzled by this world. This world is going to try to take you and take you under, because every time you turn around, I don't know about you, but there's a little thing I carry with me, and it's good. I get news, and I get people's texts, I get people's emails, I get all kinds of stuff, and it's constantly. I thought to myself the other day, I said, there's no quiet time anymore. Unless you provide a time of quiet time, I'm not just talking about religious time. I'm just talking about quiet time. I laughed. I read that thing on Facebook about little children should run around in barefoot. Supposedly, it gives you the nutrients and the vitamins through your feet. And I wrote on it. I said, man, I must know wonder I'm so healthy. I used to run you through the barnyard. Someone says, Claire, how come your boy's getting so big? He says, because he runs around the fertilizer. I hardly ever wore shoes until good night. I was had to go to school. You know, sometimes we ought to take our shoes off and go for a little walk. Now, I wouldn't say that for a diabetic. I think you need to have your shoes on, because you might step on something that hurt you. And it won't heal. But I think sometimes we ought to just stop. I thought today I took Marsh out, and we sat out on the porch about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The window died down. It's really nice out there. Just for a couple minutes. I tell her, come on, honey, let's go outside and blow the stink off us. She thinks that's funny. I think sometimes we've lost. We've lost breakfast together. We've lost. You want me to say it, don't you? Lunch together. We've lost dinner together. We've lost supper together. And we've lost evening devotions together. We've lost our morning devotions. And that's not healthy. Not healthy at all. Daddy needs to sit at the head of the table. Mama needs to sit at the other end. And those little olive trees, they need to sit around the table with you. And let them hear you speak your love towards your wife and say what a wonderful lady she is to think that she would make such a wonderful meal for us. We've lost that. I'm looking at a generation out here that some of you know what I'm talking about. I'm looking at a generation out there that have no idea what I'm talking about. I like to say, when is the last time that Daddy and Mom and the children sat together at a dinner table? I don't mean a restaurant. I mean a dinner table. I tell you, that's healthy. When our cell phones started to come out, I turned mine off. If I go to your house for lunch, I turn mine off. When our family gets together, and I'll tell you what, we've got some titans in our family. I'll tell you what, the businessmen, but we shut the phones off. I talked to Casey the other day, and he said when the kids come home, we have a little tray. We all put them in there, just so we can have at least 1 hour together. The world is trying to strangle me, trying to strangle you. Don't let him. Don't let it. Hang on to some things. If you have to appoint a day, say today at 6 o'clock, we're going to eat together. I understand that. I understand the football and the basketball and the soccer and the cross country and the swimming. And I understand all that, but there's got to be at least some time you come together and say, we're going to have a little time together. How you doing? How's things going in your life? I pray that you'll be praying for Dr. Joe Mark as he comes and preaches. I hope he just rips us, gets us back into this relevant in an irrelevant society. I hurt for you. I can't do much for you. I can preach about it, but you got to do the changing. Amen. Living. Father, I pray tonight you speak to our hearts. Lord, there's a lot of things going on in our lives that we have no idea. We don't know which way to turn. But we do know one thing. You do. And so, Lord God, would you give us wisdom beyond our years that we would trust in you and believe in you. Lord, the world has, from the beginning of time, have tried to keep you away from us. Satan tried to get man away from God, and so he got him to sin. And when he sinned, he realized his sinfulness, and he went and hid from the God who created him. From the God who Adam was operated on. And that rib was taken out, and God made him a woman. Yet when they sinned, they ran. God, help us run back to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.